Okay, good morning. Thank you, Dr. Edwards, for the extra minute. We'll switch a little bit topics here, focus on a different nutrient, one that is of great interest for us in Kansas and actually also for other parts of the Great Plains in the U.S. This project's been looking at yield response both in corn and sorghum, and also evaluating some of the diagnostic tools, tissue analysis, as well as soil tests in the past few years. So to give a little bit of a background and history of chloride work in Kansas, Kansas probably have one of the longest and the largest amount of data really on chloride fertility, focused primarily on winter wheat. So we do have quite a bit of that type of work. A lot of that response and research in Kansas focus really in the central part of the state, where we do see a lot more deficiencies, and the likelihood of deficiency tends to be much higher. And that's a combination of a couple of things. It's really an area in central Kansas where we do have enough rainfall that perhaps can contribute to some leaching of that chloride. Chloride is mobile in the soil. So that could be one factor, but at the same time, we're still in that situation where soil test potassium in that region is fairly high, so we don't have typically a lot of potassium chloride application in that region. So likely a combination of those two things probably contributing to that increasing yield response, and of course we do see quite a bit of deficiency show up every year in central part of Kansas. In those pictures there, that's just from one example. That's from Hutchinson, South Central Kansas, early this spring. So like I say, we do see this issue show up again every year. And of course, again, I talk about Kansas, and you'll see quite a bit of data in winter wheat for chloride in Kansas, but also there are, of course, reports in other parts of the Great Plains, a lot of that in the central and northern Great Plains. There are also research and reports of chloride response in winter wheat. So a little bit also more background. A lot of the work in Kansas focused on winter wheat in the past. This is one example of a study that we summarized, basically 50 site years of data in Kansas. And again, in this case, we kind of summarized the different response that we see with different categories of application rates. Application rates of, again, in the 10 to 20, 20 to 40, and more than 40 pounds of chloride per hectare, per acre, I'm sorry. One thing that I want to highlight here is that really with the first application rate, we kind of tend to see the main response already. Typically, we don't see a lot more response basically coming from additional applications in terms of rates. This is relative yield response. One thing that we use pretty regularly and is part of our recommendation in Kansas is the use of soil test profile sampling for chloride. So that's something that is in our recommendation. Right now we are using that critical value of 4 parts per million, roughly 30 pounds per acre chloride in the profile as a critical value for winter wheat. And again, this is that summary of that 50 site years that shows more or less how that response basically behaving winter wheat. We also do have a fair amount of data on winter wheat looking at tissue analysis, and this is something that I think it can work very well for us to as a diagnostic tool in winter wheat, and again just kind of give us an idea of what are those some of those sites that can potentially respond to winter wheat. In this graph here, we are looking at, again, the relationship with soil tests in that 60-centimeter layer in tissue chloride concentration in the tissue in the flag leaf in winter wheat. And there is not a very strong correlation, not a very good relationship, but there is a relationship there in terms of relative yield response looking at tissue analysis in again in the flag leaving winter wheat. So we do have we don't have, it's not part of our recommendation. We are not using tissue analysis for recommendations, but certainly we do have a potential there for using tissue testing as well for predicting some of those potentially responsive locations to chloride. So switching to this specific project is something that again kind of follow what we have done or my predecessors really done in winter wheat, and there have been some reports of potential responses also in corn and sorghum, and so that's really what we try to explore more with this particular project. So look at yield response to chloride fertilization, and also look at a little bit some of the different diagnostic tools that we can use. Obviously took a look at soil tests as an alternative for in the case of corn and sorghum, but also tissue analysis, the most common tissue tests that producers may be sending for analysis, and how those may be helping us for again for chloride management in corn and sorghum. So we have a few years of study in this project, total number of locations, 13 for corn and 15 locations for sorghum. And again, the kind of the locations of these, most of these sites are again in that central part of the state where we know there's more potential for response. So that's really what we target in this case. All of these locations are dryland. So something to keep in mind. I'll show you yield response data later, and you will see yield levels are not necessarily very high, certainly not something like we see in early presentations. So again, keep that in mind. What we use in terms of treatments, we use magnesium chloride liquid source for this particular study. It was easy for us to use application within a couple of weeks of planting time. And again, we are not putting any potassium in this case, so that's we a little bit kind of take out of the equation in this particular case to focus a little bit more on the chloride. Very simple study, really, looking at application rates, 10 to 20 and 30 pounds per acre application rates of chloride, and again, looking at that response and diagnostic tools. Parameters that we measure, again, we do look at soil tests in the profile, but then a few of the most common timing for tissue analysis that most producers may be using early in the season, 5 to 6 leaf stage for both corn and sorghum. We'll see quite a bit of ear leaf analysis that will come to our lab also, and the same thing for probably some commercial labs for corn. So that's a common one that we tend to see in the labs. And flag leaf for sorghum is a kind of equivalent to that for that, you know, reproductive stage. So we do that analysis for sorghum. We also look at a couple other plant parts in the removal with the grain at the end of the season, and something that we're seeing more and more in our state, we have more interest in stock nitrate analysis, really, and I think we can use that opportunity to kind of look at chloride as well. So we are analyzing those plant parts. And again, like I mentioned, these were all dry land locations. So getting the actual data, this is, again, we have both the corn and the sorghum data, and this is the early season whole plant analysis, 5 to 6 leaf growth stages. And again, just concentration in this case in grams per kilogram in the plant. Very significant response in tissue concentration coming from the different application rates. As we increase rates, we do see an increase there in tissue concentration, so we do have a good correlation both for corn and sorghum. Ear leaves for corn and flag leaf for sorghum, kind of a similar situation as well. Of course, if you see the scale here, same units, but of course, lower concentration, and that's expected. Of course, as we most nutrients, we are progressing in the season, we tend to see this dilution happening in terms of concentration. But again, we do see that relationship with application rates and availability of chloride and concentration in the tissue. So definitely has potential for maybe evaluating chloride availability to the crop even at this growth stage. In the grain, and this is kind of interesting, basically no response to the different application rates, and in fact, a lot of the data we submitted to the lab, oftentimes we get basically below limit of detection for chloride in the grain. So I think it's something interesting to keep in mind, maybe a little bit more from the cycling standpoint. Obviously, a lot of the chloride more likely staying in the residue, and will be kind of interesting to see what happened with cycling in that from that sense. But certainly not much of the chloride is leaving the field with the grain for both corn and sorghum, really. And like I say, most of these were most cases were actually below the limit of detection, so we cannot really find much chloride in the grain regardless of application rate. So getting into the grain yield, we do see, and this is across all locations, so keep that in mind, we do see a lot of variability in terms of what happens location by location, but in this presentation, of course, want to give a little bit more of a bigger picture. But in average, we do tend to see a significant response to chloride application. In this case, for corn specifically, most of that response really come from the first 10 pounds or so application rate. We don't really see a significant increase for further application rate. So that's one thing to keep in mind. And kind of a similar situation as well for sorghum. Statistically, really, the all the application rates are similar. Something to keep in mind, the yield increase is really not also very high. In the case of corn, we are talking maybe about 8 bushels. In the case of sorghum, about 4 bushel yield increase. And again, these are across all locations. One thing that is kind of interesting, and we are looking at the soil test as well, there's also a lot of interaction, seems like, from disease pressure perhaps contributing to see some yield responses in places where soil tests will probably tell you you may not see a response. And that's something that we saw also in winter wheat. Variety interaction seems to be a big factor as well. So those are some things to kind of keep in mind and maybe make a little bit more complicated, more complex, trying to use some of these diagnostic tools for predicting yield response. So in summary, again, the tissue analysis, the plant parts that we evaluated do show a response to availability of chloride in the soil from fertilizer, so do have a potential there for using these as a diagnostic tools. And of course, we are working on that now to look into that a little bit more. Removal with the grain was very low. That's something that I think is also something interesting to kind of keep in mind and look at cycling over time. I think is something to look a little bit more. And perhaps this may be something that happens in some of the western parts of the state. A lot of times in far western Kansas, we don't see necessarily a good response to chloride. Perhaps there's a lot more of that cycling happening. We don't have a lot of rainfall for leaching and so on. Perhaps that's what we are seeing, and again, the lack of response in those drier conditions. The kind of the next step here will be to look a little bit more at the soil test and try to look at side by side and see what happens and try to fine-tune some of these diagnostic tools and critical values for these two crops.
We have time for questions.
Yes.
You mentioned that your soil has a pretty high potassium levels. I'm wondering if the application of magnesium chloride might have helped, because normally when you have high potassium, your magnesium uptake is reduced. So are the responses that you are seeing, is it chloride response or is it magnesium response?
Well, I don't know if you're talking about that potassium and magnesium relationship in terms of uptake. I don't know if that's really your point. We do often see, and we do hear a lot of comments about potassium response even in some of those high soil test potassium situations. And I think that's a good point. I don't think that the magnesium that we are applying is in high enough rates to maybe see any effect there. So I wouldn't expect any of that effect, but I think it's a valid point. I think it's something that we probably need to explore a little bit more. So.
Yeah, I have a question. I missed your beginning of the presentation about the background. Why are you looking at the effect of chloride as it looks more like a fertilizer for those crops?
Yes, and a lot of this comes from extensive research we have from in winter wheat. We do see a pretty consistent response in winter wheat in Kansas. And again, it's really a unique situation for us because we do have the combination of no application history of potassium chloride, and we do have a little bit, we have enough rainfall that I believe we probably have some leaching of chloride happening. And in that condition in central Kansas in particular, we tend to see that response.
Right. So have you looked at, for instance, the influence of chloride on the tolerance of the crop for drought or for water use efficiency? Because there's a recent research with cotton showing that a 5 ppm of chloride improved cotton water use efficiency, drought resistance, etc.
Absolutely, and that's an excellent point, and that's something that I make our data set, to be honest with you, a little bit more complex, because we do have situations where apparently, you know, soil's availability of chloride seems to be fine, but we're still seeing a response. So certainly some stress happening there, either from perhaps drought or even disease, seems to have a big interaction there. So that is something that makes a little bit more complex. You know, from my standpoint, for the producer, I want to give a recommendation, either from tissue analysis standpoint or from soil tests, but you are right, there are other factors that are contributing potentially to response. So, good point. Yeah.
Get out of here.
Extra minute.
Thank you.